Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. Oh, good evening and welcome to The Journey 8. And I think we've got a pretty good program tonight. I'm keeping tabs of the thunderstorms that are in our area and hoping they stay at bay for the next hour. But if we go off the air abruptly, know that it was because of our electrical power safety program. And not that I fell off my chair, because that's been known to happen. No. Before we get into the lesson today, as usual, I want to review some of the announcements that I've been carrying forward and a couple new ones. The first one is one that I mention every week, and that is my friend Jen Phipps Quisenberry is planning a trip to Mozambique, Africa, and that trip is going to be happening in October, and she's planning on spending some time with some children in an orphanage there. Now, for those of you who might not know much about the missionary call, many times each person must pay for their trip there and back with their own money. And the supporting organization provides guidance and arrangements and that stuff while they're there. But they got to get themselves there. And so she has opened a GoFundMe account. And all that information you can find on my website at www.closerwalkwithyou.com. So that's number one. Number two, the new Bible trivia quiz. Yay! I finally got to it. Number two quiz for this week is loaded and ready to play. I was playing it early in the hours this morning, so I know it works. And I believe we've worked out some bugs. The idea here is as we get multiple games going, we're going to actually make a tournament probably next week. So go have some fun, and where you go for that is to a website called purposegames.com. Now, I had someone send me an email last week that said, I can't find purposegames.com. It's not purposegames.com, it's purposegames.com. And the, excuse me, I'm really got a sore throat today. Where you can find how to log in and all that information is also on my personal webpage there at closerwalkwithyou.com. Number three, my Christmas album. Christmas album this year is entitled Peace. Today and Before, I think, is what the final name of it came up to be. And we are looking at releasing that on November 20th, and providing my voice holds out, we will have that album on November 20th. Now, I've been making this announcement and saying that we were only going to offer the album this year on iTunes and CD Baby, and I got quite a number of people, especially the older generation, saying that they don't know nothing about how to do computer downloads. And they were a little distraught. And I never thought of it because I'm, in the techie world. And so we've reevaluated it, and we're still reevaluating where the money will come from. But we are planning on cutting some CDs also. But we'll have both, hopefully, on the 20th of November. Number four. all you local Greensboro Triad churches and community nonprofits, all 5,000,000 of you that are listening. You need a plug for an upcoming event? Send me an email 7 days in advance and I will do my best to add it to the announcements, as long as it's brief and to the point. And this is only for Greensboro Triad churches and community nonprofits. Okay, number five. Questions and comments for me? You can send them to me at my email, RevJudy@closerwalkwithyou.com. R-E-V-J-U-D-Y, Rev Judy. Okay, and number six, last but not least, number six is I'm going to do a personal announcement, and here it is. I got sidetracked with some notes. I'm sorry. First of all, I want to say hello to any of my fellow members at Life's Journey United Christian Church, Church of Christ, I'm sorry, who might be listening. And I'm glad you are. There'll be a quiz on Sunday at church. Nah. And I want to wish a friend of mine, Carrie, a get well. She's got a very bad migraine headache, and I know what those are like. So, and last but not least, my Prayer Warriors team. Yes, we are reactivating. And keep on praying. I know it works. If you're interested in being a prayer warrior, contact me at RevJudy@closerwalkwithyou.com. All right, so I've managed to bore everybody to death with announcements. Now I'm going to sing you to sleep, not me, but I have a song here, intro song by a gentleman, Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of my favorite Christian singers, and the song is called Be Still and Know. So Mr. Engineer, if we can crank him up, let's go. Oh yeah, I'm liking that. I just might play it again. No. Okay, so after listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman, I suppose you can guess what today's message is going to be titled. Yep, you got it. Be still and know. But, as always before, reading the scripture associated with today's message, I have the following safety warning for those of you who might be new to the show. We do this every week because I don't know when we started this, but here we go. Are you ready? No bus drivers, crane operators, truck or tractor drivers, aircraft pilots, train engineers, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat while driving should divert your attention to finding this passage. Wait until it's safe for you to look the scripture up and trust that I am reading it properly for now. All others listening, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, Androids, and any other smart or dumb device, and follow along with me. The scripture today, I was going to say it's the whole chapter 46 of Psalms, which I studied for the lesson, but really the verse that's in the center of everything is verse 10, so Psalms, Old Testament, about the middle, chapter 46, verse 10, and this is the New International Version, of course. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in all the earth." Ah, so there's where the song comes in. All right. Now, I will probably be taking a break halfway through this to rest my voice for a few minutes while you listen to another song. Here we go. You know, we live in a culture where speed is king. I find myself in a hurry even when there's no reason. I've noticed that people get upset today if they miss one revolution in a revolving door. We're an uptight generation of compulsive activists. Sounds familiar? There are 10 times more things to do in a day than anyone can do. And so we feel we are always behind and failing to do all that we could. All we do is respond to stimuli. We want peace, but it just doesn't fit into our agenda. Peace calls for doing nothing sometimes, and most of us can't handle that. Pascal, the great Christian philosopher, one of my favorites, said, "Most of man's troubles come from his inability to be still." In our key verse, God is telling us, "Cease strifing and know that I am God." Yeah, cease strifing and know that I am God. What does he mean? Be still, cease strifing. You might say, "I'm not pushy with God. I love him and I'm faithful to him." But we struggle with God in so many ways we don't think about. For instance, I shall give you a few, because I know you asked. When God tells us what to do and we ignore it, we're struggling. When God tells us how to do something and we want to do it our way, or just tweak it a little bit, we're struggling. When sin knocks on our heart's door and we answer it and invite it in, yep, we're struggling. When we try to change others in our own power and image, we're struggling. And when his will takes a back seat to ours, we're struggling. You know, as I mentioned, when I was studying this chapter of Psalms, I came up with four features, which is unlike me. I usually do things in threes. But I found four features of God in today's scripture. And I think we collectively as the church and as humankind would do well to keep them in mind every day so our lives can be in sync with God and not in conflict with him. You know, it's like rowing a boat. You know, have you ever gotten a glimpse of a canoe where the rowing is out of sync? And the guy in the front's rowing 1, 2, 3, the guy in the back 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's like watching a dog chase his tail around a fire hydrant. Working hard, and going in circles. Yeah, that's what it's like when your life is not in sync with God. So the first feature of God that I see in this chapter of Psalms is God, our protector. Yeah. There's a story I'm going to tell you about a little boy who went with his father for his first fishing trip on the lake. Fear gripped his little heart, and he held onto the boat so tight that his knuckles were white. And he looks at his dad and he goes, "Is the water over my head?" "Yes, son," said the father. It's over your head." The little boy asked, "Is it over your head?" Dad again says, yes, it is. Well, tears rolling down the boy's cheek, and then he asks, is the water over God's head? The father grew very sympathetic and told him that it was not over God's head and never would be. Sometimes our troubles may seem to be above our heads, but God is able to help. Nothing in this world can shake God's protection of his children. Nothing. You know, we put too much confidence in false security. I'm going on a limb here. Yeah, I am. We feel safe in our homes, but they can be broken into. We feel our money is safe in the bank, but there's no adequate protection for all our finances. We feel that our job is secure. Even the best employees are let go. We feel safe with our family and friends, but even they cannot keep us safe, no matter how much they have good intentions to do so. Our only hope for true security in this life is God. And I know my alarm system company for my home is going to be calling any moment now, saying, what? In Psalms 91, David writes, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, and in him I will trust. My refuge, my fortress. About 100 Christian songs written to that effect, I'm sure. It's so very true when you think about it. He is a place of protection, our refuge. Where else do we turn when we feel we have no place else to turn? He is a source of power. Our strength comes from God. An available rescue, always present to help in times of trouble. And there's times of trouble all around us. And a rock of courage in the dangerous world. Courage isn't something that comes because you ask it to. It comes from God. You know, he is our protector when we let him be. There's always a glitch. And that's usually the one I give you. So the second feature of God, and I found this one to be interesting because so many of my friends and family assume this is the case, but there's so many other people who don't. They're not in sync, and they don't realize that God is their provider. There's a gentleman by the name of Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary, basically. And he wrote in his journal that was published at a later time that he had complete trust in God's faithfulness. He says, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one, and that's good. I wouldn't want an inexperienced God. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelis, or Israelites, in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, we don't expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Interesting thought. You know, we're too caught up in self-sufficiency. What am I going to do? I got this, I got that, I got all these things. You know, but tomorrow I could lose them. Oh my gosh. When all we really have comes from God. And speaking of someone who's had and lost and had, I know, and I believe that most of you listening know that everything comes from God. He provides serenity. Psalms 23, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides nourishment. That was true with manna in the wilderness. And Psalms 36:8, they say, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Sounds like a feast to me, Southern style, fried chicken, let's go. And He provides an abundant future. And this is important for someone very special who I think is listening tonight and thinks their future might not be so abundant. Revelation 22, 1 through 3. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Abundant future. Won't it be cool to see the tree of life? Where it all started from, in the Garden of Eden. It's there. You'll see it. You know, there's something that I'm going to say it's off cue and it's not on my notes. But we spend a lot of time doing the work that we should be turning over to God. And when we sidetrack ourselves and try and do God's job, there's no one left to do our job. So He's willing to give us nourishment. He's willing to give us prosperity. He's there, willing to be our protector, our provider. Yet we spend the majority of our working life, and for those of us who are semi-retired, a lot of our retired life, trying to figure out all the things that we should be doing that are God's job, and not much of what we should be thinking about that is our job. So I'm going to take a short break here halfway through. And I'm going to have the next song play for you while I attempt to gain my voice. This is a group, and I do have to say, when I decided to start listening to contemporary Christian, big step for me. I was, Gaither hymns all the way. This is the group I started listening to. It's a group by the name of Selah, and They remain one of my favorites today. And I want you to listen. This is a medley of two very special songs. You'll probably recognize them. Be Still My Soul and What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I'll be right back with part two. I could sing like that 20 years ago. All right. Be Still My Soul. Kind of a theme we have going here. So I hope you enjoyed that song. And we're going to pick up recapping the four features of God. We're in Psalm chapter 46 for anybody who's come in the middle. And we're on the third feature of God. Here we go. The great powerhouse. Yep, here's another story about a little boy who one day was trying to pick up a heavy rock. I guess I've deemed it Little Boy Story Day, not to be confused with Toy Story. No, it's a bad joke. Anyway, here's this little boy and he's trying to pick up a heavy rock. And he says, "Dad, it's too heavy." And his father said, "Son, you can do it." And the little boy strains and he comes back and he says, "Dad, it's just too heavy." Father insisted, "Son, you can do it." So he tries again, only not to be able to pick it up. And he says, "Dad, really, it's too heavy." And father said, "Son, really, you're not using all your strength." "Dad, I am, it's too heavy." "Son, you're not using all your strength." "Dad, why are you always saying I'm not using all my strength?" "The rock, it's too heavy," the father replied. "I'm just loving this. I know you're not using all your strength because you haven't asked me to help yet. There is more strength available to us than what we have. Why aren't we using it?" "Dad, it's too heavy." Yeah. You know, I truly believe too many Christians have a power problem. First, you have the ones that are power hungry, craving power for personal gain. Woo. Then you've got what I classify as the power deficient Christians. They're drained of power because they've either improperly used the power they had or it was insufficient to begin with. Okay, and then my favorite, power mad. These are the people who have some sort of power and they're willing to do anything to keep it. "I have my power and I'm not sharing with you. Buzz off." And then there's the people who I have classified as power off. Too lazy to even turn on the spiritual switch that will make them effective for God. Which one do you think you fall into? Or do you? You may be the power sideliner. Anyway, you know, there is a wrong concept of power these days. It's not N-O-T for personal satisfaction, but for God's glory and purpose. You see, the problem is not the availability of power. It is accessing and using the power rightly that is the problem. Yeah. There's no problem with the availability of power. That generator's going like crazy. Yeah. I can see it now. The lights flashing upstairs, you know, power generator going, you know, all the little church mice that have gone on before us, they're on the treadmill. Either way, there's no problem with the availability of power. It's accessing it. That's the problem. You know, God's power is unmatched. He has the power to create. You know, back to Psalms. We're in chapter 8 now. When one of the more famous statements, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." Yeah. The power to create. You know, when you think about it, everything we know has been created by someone or something. God is the only entity that was not created. God is from everlasting to everlasting. He has the power to create by saying a word. You know, he has the power you find in salvation, the power to turn your life around. Yeah, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Wow. Do you really think people are ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, maybe, huh? I'm not. Power. Power comes from God. We use it for His goodness. It goes back. It's a circle. Think of it that way. The power He gives us to create music, to create sermons, to create whatever. All that comes from so that we can do His work, and it goes right back, either in the form of praise or in the form of fill in the blank. Last, the fourth feature of God, and I saved this for last because last is not least. Here we go. The fourth feature of God in Psalms 46 is a peacemaker. Excuse me, voice is trembling. Okay, I've told you two boy stories. This will just be your extra freebie. Funny story. A woman's therapist told her the way to achieve true inner peace was to finish what she started. She said, so far today, I've finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake. I feel better already. Not quite what the therapist had in mind, but hey, we all interpret, don't we? You know, peace is elusive, especially peace here. In this day and time, you can't find peace in this world because it is not of this world. Wars, rumors of wars, violence, sin, all contrary to God's peace for sure. Yes, this is the world we've created. Peace is the world God created. You can't find it in religion. What? I'll repeat that. You can't find peace in religion. More people have met violent deaths at the hands of religious zealots than in all the wars of the past 500 years combined. Now, before you turn off your computer and throw it through the window and say, I can't believe Reverend Judy said that. She's off my Christmas list. Don't get me wrong by confusing faith with religion. Not the same. Not the same at all. Religion is man-made. Faith and peace are God's. Is religion all bad? No, absolutely not. But religion is not what will give you peace. It's your faith working with God that will give you the peace that you need in times of distress, in times of anger, in times of unsurmountable grief. All these things come from faith. And faith will hold it together. Peace. You cannot find it in self-destructive behavior, such as drugs, alcohol, or sinful deeds. And I'm not going to thump a Bible any further as a recovering alcoholic of 32 years. And I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, if you think that's where you're finding it, and if that's where you are trying to find it, cease and desist. It's not there. You know? Thirty-two years of sobriety, and I'm still one step away from being destructive. I still have many of the behaviors. You don't cure yourself of that. So the cure is not to go there to begin with. Take that time and that effort and that wasted money and put it to use for God. Walk through the doors of a church and ask for sanctuary. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt also that if you come with a sincere heart, you will get peace. God said, "Be still and know that I am God." A reminder, flash, hello, humankind. I am God, you are humans. I have my job, you have your job. Be still and know that I am God. The original Greek words were literally translated as sink, relax, sink down, hang limp, be feeble, whatever word you want to put in there, sink. Be in a state of lacking power. In other words, there is nothing in you that can accomplish this. It is all of God. That's why he says, be still. There's nothing you can do. And know that I am God. The only lasting real peace is the peace done God's way. Ah, and for us to experience God's peace? Well, let's see. We must have a mind focused on allegiance to God, putting aside anything that distracts our hearts. I think that's a good one. Make sure the peace you are seeking is Christ-centered. Peace without God is not true and abiding peace. Much of today's failed peace attempts are because God is not in the center of the process. And until he is, and I'll leave that blank, God's peace can only come through salvation. Yep. And God's peace is to be one of the ruling factors in his church. Okay. We'll say that one. Hello? God's peace is to be one of the ruling factors in his church. I believe the church I attend is committed to this, knows this, practices it every day. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. Here's Paul saying to his church in Colossae, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, church. And be ye thankful. You know, the Pauline letters always end with, be thankful. In one way or the other, a be thankful clause is there. He directs, then reminds his church to be thankful, because a thankful heart is a humble heart. Paul knew this. We're still learning it. Yeah. Be thankful. quarter to seven, and we will be leaving early. Class is not dismissed yet. So today I ask you to be honest with God and yourself. Here's our self-reflection time. Ask yourself what your struggle is with God. What are you holding back? Well, tonight, sit down and say, God, we need to have a talk. Then when you can answer that question, when you've sorted through all the covering, shall we say, and you come to the question of what's your struggle with God, and you think you have that answer, what your struggle is, then change. Grace and peace. I will see you next Tuesday. Amen. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.